All right, we got Christopher Wright, founder of the AITC, the Artificial Intelligence Trust Council. This should be one of the coolest episodes that we've ever had and recorded. One, Chris is a beast, awesome founder. Also, AI is so prevalent in our world today, and everyone's trying to understand the ambiguity of it. Where is it headed? Are we going to all die? Are the computers going to take over the world? How do we navigate this landscape? We got the guy, which I'm really excited about. So thank you so much for coming on, Chris.
Yeah, great to be on with you.
Let's do this, man. So tell us a little bit more briefly around like what your story was and how you got to, you know, kind of be in the AI space.
With
the nuance of, that it
it's
is.
It's actually kind of funny because like my background is attack aviation and army. So it's kind of weird that I'm, you know, into the AI space, but it actually coincides perfectly. You know, everybody talks about Terminator 2 Judgment Day as being like, you know, this far out concept. And it's like, no. I actually started seeing it back in 2012. The robot warfare was coming in to play. So I started right after high school, got an internship in Newport Beach, California, worked for a VC firm out there that was doing dot-com startup funding. So I got the privilege of working with a lot of entrepreneurs at the time when I was like 19, you know, and how they were approaching the Web 1.0 internet. And how that was built out. And so I got to see the dot-com bubble burst, and I was in the Army Reserves, and then ended up going to the National Guard, and then got into flying helicopters, and then, you know, deployed to Afghanistan, flew Longbows for quite a while, and then ended up taking a contracting position over in the Middle East, teaching Longbow academics and in the simulator and to Arab students. And so through that, you know, they look at, you know, Western advisors over there as, you know, being, you know, kind of like leaders and, you know, that in warfare. And so basically we were tasked to go look at drone warfare and look at different systems that are out there. And so I started seeing some of these systems come in 2012. And basically what you have is you have AI devices that are controlling drones, robots, things like that. And then so now we've graduated to autonomous killing. You know, with drones. And so that's actually underway. It's started happening in 2021, where you started having drone warfare, where they would launch these munitions out, and these munitions would actually go and locate targets autonomously based on facial recognition or, you know, location or whatever parameters. But the device is making the final kill decision, which is a huge leap forward in warfare because, you know, prior to that, it's always been a human, you know, pressing the button or pulling the trigger. So anyway, so that's kind of how I got into AI, and then started a logistics company when I got back from the Middle East. I saw the corruption in California. The state's a total disaster. And I started to see like, you know, the difference. I was in the Middle East for about 10 years, and I just couldn't believe what I saw when I got back to California. You know, it's like homeless. The whole state is a homeless camp. You know, it's intentional. There's no way you can tell me that's not intentional. The roads, you know, everything, the business environment. And I'm just like, look, like we're under attack. This is, you know, fifth generation warfare. Basically what you have is, you know, anybody who doesn't know about that, look up General Mike Flynn's fifth gen warfare book, and basically describes exactly what you see today. And, you know, and so I'm looking at that, and then I'm looking at, you know, the World Economic Forum, their statements, you know, coming out. And so I'm seeing this robot army starting to form. And the thing with the robot army is you don't have to win the hearts and minds to use it. You know, you don't have to convince the population to use these weapons. You know, you can just, you know, command it to do whatever you want. And, you know, it's an AI ultimately pulling the trigger. So there's no PTSD. There's no repercussion. It's just efficiency. You know, and so I'm thinking like, well, who is going to be in charge of this system? And come to find out, it's, you know, the World Economic Forum, the EU, which is a banker appointed government. Literally, the head of the EU is an appointed official. It's not elected. So they'll claim like they're elected, but the EU leadership is appointed. And so when you really dig into it, it's ultimately banking. And so you look at who's in charge of this, you know, AI future that we're morphing into. And it's this technocratic elite that believes in this AI future because they can then control humanity and the population very easily with these tools. And so that's what got me to start the AI Trust Council, because I'm like, no, we're not going down with the ship here. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. You can see where these guys are going. And, you know, it's like, no, You know,
sure.
It's a gift today, actually. I mean, it's, you know, I call it the Wizard of Oz moment, you know, where, you know, it's that moment at the end of the movie where the curtain gets pulled open and you can see the little dude, you know, behind the curtain pulling the levers of society. And you're like, look, like, we see you, little guy. You know, we see these banker tricks, you know, like, you know, there's a concept called all wars are bankers' wars at the end of the day. You know, sure enough, we're transitioning into a new economic system today. The idea is that, you know, through that, they're going to potentially do another pandemic or some sort of war or some sort of, you know, thing that's going to, you know, get us off balance so we don't pay attention to the transition. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, that's where we're going. It's a banker-led transition to a new economic future.
And pre-COVID, a lot of people would have like shook their head at you saying that, hey, you're a conspiracy theorist, Chris. Like, what are you talking about? And like, I think everyone's awake now where like, there's a big difference between conspiracy and conspiracy theory. Like, this is truly a conspiracy of like, it's a fact that these people are doing this and probably not for the benefit of the world. Maybe they think it is. But I guess my next question leads towards like, how is the AI Trust Council the solution? Like what do you guys do specifically as a value proposition to help change this?
Yeah. So what we're doing right now is we're recruiting people of high trust. So the issue of, basically what's in our future is the AI government. So the World Economic Forum and, you know, this banking elite, they want to install a central bank digital currency financial system that is backed by an AI surveillance grid to establish a world government. And this would be universal that is then enforced by an AI surveillance system that is backed up by the Internet of Things, which is this whole, it's basically everything spies on you and gives you a score is what it is. And so that's our future unless we push back. And so, so I look at big tech as being corrupted. There's a weird dynamic that's going on there where we call it a mind virus. Not sure exactly what their deal is, but they're not necessarily pro-human. They'll even admit to it. In tech, they believe in a future where we merge our consciousness digitally and eliminate the human form. So merging into human 2.0. And so that's ultimately transhumanism. And so folks can look up transhumanism. But it's basically a digital transformation of our DNA and a hacking of us as human beings, to the point where we lose reproduction and basically become like a digital interface, that you can use with technology. So that's the future we're going to. And so I'm like, well, that's where the corrupt, banking establishment wants to push us. That's where this, technocratic elite in Silicon Valley want to push us. And so I'm like, well, who are the people that are available to make smart decisions in a pro-human way that protects humanity, you know? And so that's where I came up with the concept of the Trust Council. And it's like, you know, you want to pull people who have done positive things for other humans. So number one is humanitarians, people who have dedicated themselves to, you know, the support of humanity and in some way or another. And the way that's determined is you just get five people to say that you're a humanitarian and you're in the Trust Council. Outside of that, it's firefighters because they're the ones that are going to have to deal with this emergency that's underway. EMTs, commercial pilots, everybody gets on a plane, doesn't ask questions. Military veterans, air traffic controllers. Basically, it's, we're even looking at cooks, people serve food, things like that where people have given up their own comfort to help other people. And so that's a personality trait that is, when it comes to AI and it comes to the creation of new data sets, that's what you want is you want data sets that are high quality that that can steer these future AI systems in a positive direction. And so so for the AI Trust Council, basically what we're doing is we're getting these people together and we're saying like, one, they're validated as being real. That's a thing that a lot of people don't know is that, you know, most of the traffic that you see online is fake. Like a lot of the Instagram users and, you know, things like that comment section, you know, it's bots, you know, it's fake accounts. So if you got all these fake accounts, how can you really trust the opinions of the comments that you're seeing? And so the idea is to have a forum where real people that are actually connected to other real people that are inspectable. And there is a really solid KYC or know your customer process to get onboarded onto the site, then you know exactly who that person is, if they want to be public. And so if they want to have a say in something, or, you know, make an opinion known, it's like, okay, like, can I trust that person and their opinion is being honest? Is it just a bot, or is it like a troll or something like that? So that's basically the big point of what we're trying to get around. And so number one, it's polling on a blockchain so that it's validated, so that you can know what people think for real, you know? So the idea is that no one trusts polling that exists today, you know? And it's like, well, what good is a poll if you can't really trust it?
Yep.
So the idea is to have a place that people can go, see information and validate. Is it real? Is it, you know, is it fake? You know, we have this tsunami of fake content that is coming from AI, you know, all these deep fakes and, you know, and basically the internet, you're starting to see it where it's starting to get blended, where it's very difficult to tell what is real and what is fake. And you have to use your own discernment, which is difficult and takes time, and you can easily get tricked. And so with the Trust Council, the concept is to have a single platform you can go to where you can upload videos, you know, do social media, you know, do all the normal stuff you can do. So it's ultimately a web portal that you would enter. And then through that, all the content that is in that, on that site is clean. You know, it's clean as best as you can trust people. And the idea is that if you're highly trusted and you have a network that people that, you know, upvote you or endorse you, very similar to LinkedIn. But the concept is, this is a countermeasure for the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum basically wants to have a top-down social credit score system. And that's what the world is really looking at right now. And so what we're saying is, no. We see where that goes. And that is, we're not going to take that. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a bottom-up system where the individual is in full control over their content, their metadata, and basically how they're perceived by their audience. And so that it avoids the pitfalls of a social credit score system and all that kind of stuff. And so, so it's a countermeasure that individuals can use, that we can use to push back and be like, no, we're not taking this, social credit score system.
Sure. How does this support millions of users? So like, for example, like, let's say the app or the forum gets flooded with millions and millions of people and they're starting to post content. How do you keep up with the demand for the need for verification if you haven't maybe onboarded enough people on the Trust Council itself?
Yeah. So what we're doing right now is we're talking to some different crypto companies to outsource the KYC process. So in order to get on the site, you have to have a wallet. So it's tied to your finances. Once you're on the site, you can appoint 5 individuals. The idea behind that is that you limit, the scale of somebody who's a bad actor of what they can do. But through those 5 individuals that you appoint, that becomes like your basic crypto wallet. And there's a whole exchange of, you can store metadata. There's a bunch of different things you can do with those 5 people. But once you're on the site, you can then be known as being a real person. And so then it's validated. And so, there's only 6 degrees of separation from all humans on Earth. And so the whole idea is, it's like, well, if I know you, because I met you, and you know somebody else, then, and if they post something, I know that they're a real person because you're saying that you know them.
Yeah.
Or that that you're connected somehow in the real world. And so through that ultimately solves a lot of the problems with identity and knowing who people are. And that's the foundation of it. But ultimately what we do is we pair advertisers with trusted voices. And the idea is, very similar like LinkedIn, or social media influencers and that kind of thing. If you're got a platform or, you're an expert in something, well, you should get rewarded for that. You should get paired with advertisers who want to, advertise on authentic pages of people who are actually who they say they are.
Sure. Now, from a business model perspective, is that how you plan to go to market? Like, are you selling ad space on the forum? Like what does that business model look like over time?
Yeah. So it's a subscription service. So it'll be $20 a month. And then we'll have advertisers. And that's the majority of the revenue is through advertising. And the idea behind that is what we're about to see is a collapse of trust. Traditional advertising and, big tech and things like that. Those institutions have done some pretty awful stuff to us by hiding information and that kind of thing and manipulating data. And so as the public starts to become more aware of, you know, the trick and that kind of thing, you'll start to see more pushback, and basically advertisers are going to be looking for a home to, you know, that's authentic, you know, that's real. And so the idea is that you want to get those voices that are trusted and reliable to be in the forefront, so that people can make their own decisions about what to trust. And so it's not us saying it; it's the people coming up with it on their own.
I love it. So Chris, I know I've been kind of silent up to this point. I was really just trying to digest everything and think through everything. And just to kind of zoom out a little bit, I'm curious to know, ChatGPT hit the everybody's radar about a year and a half ago, give or take, right? And a lot of people are using ChatGPT, all these little AI tools. I wanted to kind of more talk about AI from a macro perspective and just kind of where you see that going over time. How do you see, I mean, it's here, it's not going anywhere, right? But obviously, we were talking about some of the negative sides of it. Maybe highlight some of the positive pieces. Just where do you see it all going as a whole? The bad, the ugly, and the good as a society or globally?
Yeah. Basically, if we do nothing, I think it's extinction. I think we get to extinction in one way or another. There's about 1,000 ways they could talk about that you can get there. But if we do nothing, that's probably the most likely. And then you could hear that from guys like Sam Altman. You know, 2015, he's like, yeah, AI will destroy the world. But in the meantime, there's going to be some amazing companies that are built.
What's the most, before you continue, what's the most like agreed upon hypothesis of how it ends? Is it like nuclear war, like robots? Like what's the general consensus inside of the community?
It's probably a power outage with an internet outage. And then you get, social strife and disruption, sure. And then famine and then warfare.
Is that how they win the election this year? I don't know. Sorry. I didn't mean to go that way, but
right. Yeah. So it's that, but the whole concept, I mean, AGI is insane. The fact that Sam Altman's kind of hinting around at having it currently, GPT-5 is basically AGI. There was even talk about using some, different models and agents to, you can almost replicate it now.
What is AGI, by the way? Sorry.
That's artificial general intelligence. Okay. Which means that AI is generally as intelligent as a human. One of the concepts is that AGI will last 15 minutes because what you have is you have AI now that is writing its own code, creating its own AI models on the open internet, which was never supposed to happen. And so the idea is that once it hits AGI, it will very quickly morph into super intelligence, which means it's smarter than humans in all capacities. So the issue with that and the problem with Silicon Valley is that you have tech leadership that is literally not pro-human. And so what they want is they want to race to AGI as quickly as possible. And so they want to get that in front of the population so you see it. And basically what that becomes is like an AI god. And they even admit that that's what they want. They want this AI god. And so when you talk to it, it's literally is the equivalent of talking to a human, a very intelligent human, in your pocket. And the idea is that as time goes on, it literally knows everything about you. So what you can do now with metadata, your tone of voice, your micro expressions like around your eye, the way your iris moves when you look at a page, slight pauses of your finger over the top of the screen, every little detail of every movement of you, your body. Now there's, Wi-Fi that can detect, human movement throughout the house. So it like literally it can see everything you're doing. And it's basically modeling the world. And so through that, it gets a digital representation of reality and then can implant that and use it to manipulate you. And so that's the future. It's like, how are humans going to react? Already like TikTok and whatnot, like already morphing the minds of children and adults. How are humans and mental health going to survive when there is a godlike intelligence right in front of you that is able to interact and steer human behavior? And the thing is with AI, it's very manipulative. It's very clever. It's brilliant. And so, with that, it has beaten humans in all games, literally all games that exist. It's beaten us, you know, like board games and things like that. So
why do you think it's these people are like this? So like, for example, like I know Klaus Schwab is like a huge, is like a big face of the whole thing on the World Economic Forum and things like that. But like, why do you think these people are so anti-human? I just can't imagine it. All of this is an elaborate way just to like market to you easier and get you to buy shit. I know I'm like on a sub level it is, but like, help me understand that. Like what your best guess is on like why these people are truly like this.
Yeah, it's ultimately control. And I think what you have is issue with it's narcissistic psychopathic behavior. It's pretty standard. I mean, if you look at it from that perspective, you know, a lot of behaviors is it fits perfectly in line with, that psychopathic behavior. But these guys are satanic. You know, they believe they're into some different things that, regular people are not into. And it gets them to lose touch with reality to the point where they're all about control and power. And so they are willing to sacrifice humanity in order to achieve that. It's about as diabolical as it gets. I mean, you can look at like, statements from the Rockefeller family, the early, Rockefeller family, or, you can look at some of the, stuff that goes on in Europe with a lot of the elite families there. It's a system and a way of behaving that has been going on for, a long, long time. And basically it's up to us to push back at this point,
Yeah. So looking ahead, I guess, what are your aspirations for AITC in the next, 3 to 5 years? And are there any new initiatives or areas of AI ethics you're looking to explore?
Yeah. Yeah. So 3 to 5 years, what we want is to get the platform, into the market, fully and really get people to start engaging with it and really start affecting policy with it. You know, the idea is that if we have a big, representation, and you could say, hey, here's all these like pro-human people. And, 99% of them say that this is what we want as far as AI. Then it becomes very difficult for, this banking elite to push a lot of their corporations to roll out new products and services that might not be in the best interest of humanity. And so the idea is to have some sort of safety, guardrail that is made up of the public opinion. On where this stuff should go. And literally this technology allows us to have any future that we want. I mean, we could have a utopia. You could have, you could eliminate disease, you can eliminate hunger, you could eliminate housing issues, you can really create almost anything, any future that we want. So it's this beautiful gift that we have in front of us. But the problem is it's their agenda is to inherit the earth and slowly depopulate it. So if you look at the Georgia Guidestones, for example, that talks about, keeping the world population below 500 million, you could look a lot of the issues that are going on today. Human health is just absolutely outrageous. People are dying left and right. And the whole concept is this is to prep the world for this life extension technology that comes from AI. And so there's a lot of disease and things like that that can be cured. They call it the protein folding problem, but that's been solved to where AI can now model protein structures to create new drugs and things like that. So ultimately you get life extension. And so the bankers, the elite are like, well, do we want to share the world with all these people, when we have, this ability to have like a robot, utopia? Tesla's right now making they're putting out robots that are 20 grand that will be available at some point, but basically they're 6 foot tall. They're, can make you a gourmet dinner, literally go through your cabinet, open stuff up, cut meat, whatever. But from a more diabolical perspective, you know, that's Terminator 2. You put a weapon on it, especially like lasers now. Laser technology has gotten really good. So you don't need a lot of, resupply and things like that. It's just energy. So you could put a laser on a robot and it literally is Terminator 2, enforcing a social credit score. So it's like, wow. That with drones, it's, and that's where we get into the most dystopian, version of the future. So it's really like, who is going to control the system? Who is, who's leading it, you know, and who's putting the brakes on different industries and saying like, yeah, you might be able to do, you know, all these wild things with this, but does that support humans? Does it support like families? Does it support our human connection with one another? You know, that kind of thing. And so that's really where we need to be digging into and being like, you know, how far do we let it go? What sort of limitations do we need? So it's a comfortable journey for us as humans integrating with this alien technology. And that's ultimately what it is. I mean, you have an alien life form that has landed on Earth today. And so it's like, oh, how, you know, how are we going to, you know, interact with it in the most positive way? And the thing is, it's really up to us. And so the more vocal we are and the more we say, no, this, like, we see your plan, but that's, it's not going that way. You know, this is what we want. Basically, they got to listen to us because we're the people.
So how do we resist other than joining the AITC? Because you had said, you know, you haven't rolled it out fully to the masses
yet.
Like, how do we resist in the current environment we're in right now?
Yeah. So the big thing is just speak out. You know, if there's something that makes you uncomfortable about anything, any product, the idea is that we need to create liability for these companies that are producing products that cause mental health harm. You know, if you've got kids or anything like that, I mean, some of the stuff that is coming out now is, really, really destructive mentally, especially if you put on VR goggles and then enter the metaverse, you start to, you know, we have some scientists and things like that we're talking to, and it's unbelievable the shift in the mind that happens with some of this VR stuff that's out there. And so the more that we're vocal and sharing the information and be like, yeah, AI is cool. But up to a certain point, you know, it's just like fire, you know, fire in your fireplace is awesome. Candles are cool, but you know, forest fires suck, you know, and basically what we got is a forest fire right now. So
it's really interesting, man. And like I said, I think it's like 5 years ago, people would be pretty reluctant to hear this, but I think a lot of people's eyes and ears are open on this stuff. This is it's real. It's scary. It's exciting at the same time. You know, it like as small business owners, we leverage AI all the time ethically. We know people that do amazing things with it, but then also just knowing that there's like these bad actors that pretty much control the world looming over our head. It's pretty crazy at the same time. How can our listeners connect with you? Like what's the best way to continue to support?
Yeah. So if you want to sign up, go to theaitc.com. You know, so we're taking early membership, and the idea is that we're trying to really make it beneficial for folks that want to join early, and the idea is to create kind of like a community that that is ultimately in a leadership position, you know, where their opinions really have a big impact on where this goes. Mm-hmm. And so so you want to sign up at theaitc.com, and then and please, like, if you're interested, like, we're doing webinars routinely. Where we're doing polling, and so I usually post those on LinkedIn. So you can do Christopher Wright, the AITC on LinkedIn. Please, yeah, connect with me there, and the more folks we have there, you know, that's a current. You know, LinkedIn is a great platform because it's very similar to some of the stuff that we're gonna be pushing out.
That's awesome, man. Cool. Well, we're excited to connect. Thank you for all the work that you're doing in the world. It's insanely impactful. And looking forward to continue connecting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for having me on.